Well, after a long layup, we're finally back in studio for a new Panthers podcast. Max Henson of Panthers.com here with Bill Both, also of Panthers.com. Wrapping up the spring, OTAs, minicamp, the offseason strength and conditioning program all came and went. The Panthers now into summer break. Figured it'd be a good time to have us two sit down and tell you everything we can share with you about what we saw during the spring. And
is
Bill,
it because Brian's not here?
And because Brian's
we
not
figured,
here.
We figured we might as well record the podcast. Brian's not here. He won't tag along.
He said it. I didn't, Brian.
Just kidding.
But yeah, and Bill, this is Bill's first spring with Panthers.com. So,
first season with Panthers. Is it going to be like my
first
game?
Your first everything.
Yeah.
How'd you think it went?
I think it went like a lot of my other springs around here.
It wasn't that much better.
They went through drills and they, all that other stuff. No, I think, and even I talked a little bit about this last week, that there's not a lot of juicy storylines. Last summer there were essentially none, and then this year there's not a ton, which, and from my perspective, that's a good thing.
Right.
You don't want to have a whole lot of drama, but what does it mean about competition at positions? And I started to think that way through training camp, and it's just kind of like every position's pretty much set last year, and except for punter. And this year, it's about the same thing, except for a kicker.
It's a really good question, and I think that's something we'll definitely get into. Because, what has changed as far as the competition for this team is something that's been talked about a lot, is kind of raising the competition level, in all areas. But has that really happened? And again, that's something we'll definitely get into here as we talk through the spring and head into training camp. But Bill, let's talk first about General Manager Dave Gettleman and his thoughts on kind of what he saw in the spring. We posted something on Panthers.com this week just with his kind of chance to step back and evaluate what he saw, and he made the comment that has now kind of gone everywhere after we posted the story, just that he thinks it's feeling like 2015 all over again, and wondering kind of just what your thoughts were hearing him say that, and if you kind of got a similar feel at all from standing out there for those practices throughout the spring.
No, I didn't get that similar feeling. I see where he's going with it, and it's he means, I think, in a lot of ways, bringing in some of the veterans like they had in 2015 with the Charles Tillmans, and well, this time they have the Captain Munnerlands, the Julius Peppers,
sure,
and guys like that, and guys are seemingly having more fun and whatnot. But I think it you really can't tell until the games start,
yeah,
because that's when the team either is going to have fun or not, and that's based on winning and losing. So I think what made 2015 feel like 2015 was they were winning and having fun. So yeah, they're having fun now, but it's just once that season comes, will they still be having it? And I think one of the concerns I had last year was, are they too dependent on having fun?
Mm-hmm.
Which means they have to win to have fun. So it's a chicken and the egg thing. So I see where he's going with it as far as how they're structuring the team.
Right.
But I think as far as should we be getting those warm, fuzzy feelings that it's going to be 2015 all over again, I think it's probably too early to tell.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you're right. What he's talking about a lot about is the fact that the core is intact. That's really, as we mentioned earlier in the show, it's a similar roster to what 2015 mm-hmm. was. So that's the immediate thing. As you mentioned, the free agents that were brought in, they're trying to mimic what they had on defense in 2015 with kind of the veterans mixed in with the youth and, the Jared Allen, Roman Harper, Charles Tillman replaced by Julius Peppers, Captain Munnerlyn, Mike Adams. I mean, all that makes sense. And really, I think, Bill, we talked about this, before the show as we were walking away from our conversation with Dave Gettleman. Is it just as simple as with the Super Bowl hangover now having passed, is it just going to be like 2015 again? Is that really what it just was that held this team back, the fact that they went through that hangover, and now that it's gone, is it going to go back to the winning ways that we saw? And I think that's part of what Dave is talking about, is because he felt like the whole attitude of things really impacted what we saw on the field.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of factors to it. First of all, I don't think you can just turn on a switch and be like, oh, okay, we got over the hangover and now we're feeling good again.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that he admitted that there was a hangover because, of course, all last summer they were saying, no, we're going to avoid it and all that other stuff. I think it's just impossible. After going through it, seeing it, from our side, it's, I believe, now in a Super Bowl hangover. I can't imagine what the Falcons are going to be going through. That thing is going to be like the worst hangover you've ever had in your life. And you know, you're sitting there on the couch all day and you're popping aspirins. It's going to be that like through like the whole next week kind of hangover. After seeing what the Panthers went through and then seeing the kind of loss the Falcons had, I think that's one thing I'm thinking about. You know, obviously an NFC South rival, but as far as the Panthers getting over that, I mean, I think, you know, Ron started mentioning it, or Dave started mentioning it pretty soon after the Super Bowl loss, which was they kind of hoped to be like Denver, which got back to the Super Bowl. But of course, Denver had to take a year
before they
did that and then won.
Yeah. And that's what everybody kept mentioning, was that there was that year in there. And, of course, we saw what happened with the Panthers last year. It does, in fact, look, they needed that year. 6-10 last year, of course, wasn't up to anybody's expectations. And now here we go in 2017. And, again, it's a really talented roster. I think you'd look around the league, any of the national analysts would tell you this is one of the most talented rosters in the NFL. Can they put all the pieces together? And really, do they have that intangible element that I think everybody who was around this team in 15 would agree was a big part of their success? There was something about the tight-knit nature of this group, and I think, as you were saying, the winning kind of breeds that as well. But there was something to that. And I think that's one of my takeaways from spring, is that it looks like they're getting a little bit back to that in some areas that I think really needed it. And I look at the secondary first off, because last year so much change came to the secondary. That was one of the areas where there was such a big difference from the NFC Championship year the season before, was really just Kirk Coleman. Everything else around him was so new. You had the two rookies on the outside, and you know, of course, Josh Norman wasn't there, and he was such a big part of the makeup of that secondary. Roman Harper wasn't alongside him at safety. And last year, as much as they kind of all said it was Thieves Avenue still, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the same Thieves Avenue, no, you know? This year it feels like I think that's a more tight-knit group, and it has to be. You know what to expect from the rookies, who aren't rookies anymore now, and Bradbury and Worley. They've kind of proven that they can handle themselves, and you didn't know that last year. You know, you really just didn't. Captain Munderland has been here before. He knows the drill. I mean, that guy, it was necessary to come in and help the younger players and I think fill that nickel role. And Mike Adams is a 13-year pro who's been to the Pro Bowl for the past 3 years. I mean, the makeup of that secondary to me is one area where I look at it and say, okay, this can be this looks like a more tight-knit group. And because of it, I think that area is maybe an example of what you can look at and say, this team is getting back to maybe what it had to find that it had in 2015.
Did you mention Captain? Did you forget about Captain? Everyone's always forgetting
Captain.
About, did you?
You maybe zoned out when I mentioned Captain.
Okay. Yeah, well, you're going through the whole list of everybody. But yeah, it was funny because I think it was the same day that Julius agreed or Julius signed, and I was thinking, you know what, Walt, that's a great story. Captain's the more important signing because the Panthers have needed a nickel. They have attempted and failed at finding a nickel since Captain left for Minnesota. And because they play so much nickel, and it's so vital to this defense, I still think it's so completely underrated across the NFL, that is, besides Matt Khalil, that's, I think, their biggest free agent signing of this offseason. So you plug Captain in there, and then you hope that all these guys are going to be healthy, and you hope that age won't finally show on Mike Adams, because it hasn't in the last few years. So you hope that he does have another year or two of looking like a younger man than his age really actually is.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was talking to you before the show, too, about a conversation with Joe Ken, strength and conditioning coach. We can do something with him on Panthers.com as well. And I've always felt that you can gain a lot of insight from those guys, Joe and his staff, because they're around the players so much. And they kind of know the inner workings of the locker room just because of the time they spend with them. And one of the things he said was the captain signing, he could tell immediately was huge just because of what he's going to mean to the younger guys. And I think what he and Mike Adams mean to Kirk Coleman, and now that Kirk doesn't have to do it himself anymore. You know, and he really had to last year. He was the rock back there that kind of had to be the big brother, father, teacher figure for such a young secondary. And now he's got help. And I think, again, this is all focusing on the secondary, but I think that's a big part of what needs to happen for this Panthers
especially
team
in this division. This division's ridiculous. Yeah. It's kind of the drum I've been pounding since the draft because of what Tampa did in the draft. And you just go, this division's a problem. Everybody offensively is really, really good. So, yeah, offenses are really important, and one of the things that I think got most of the attention last year, obviously with the Panthers, was what happened to the offense and how it took a step back. But perhaps the winner of this division is going to be who has the best mm-hmm. defense.
Yeah.
And obviously over the last few years, it's been the Panthers, and you would think it would be the Panthers. But that's certainly, I think, the key to winning this division now is which defense can do the best job slowing down some yeah. of these offenses.
Yeah, I know you wrote about it earlier. I think you're spot on. There's no doubt. Well, after we talk about how great and how important the defense is going to have to be, let's switch gears to the offense.
Yeah, sure.
Because a lot of the hot-button issues really came on that side of the ball for Carolina this
offense
spring.
Offense always gets the love.
They do. They always get the love, always get the headlines. And certainly one of the big ones as we started OTAs and everything was Kelvin Benjamin and his weight and how he was going to respond to the questions that came and really the charge that he was kind of undertaking to get where Ron Rivera and Dave Gettleman knew he needed to get to. What do you think about the way Kelvin handled really all of that, and how do you think he looked by the time these practices wrapped up?
He's always looked big to me. He's a big dude. You see him and you're like, how's this guy play receiver? And it doesn't matter if he's is coming in at the weight he should be at or if he's over. And to me, he always looks slowish and kind of plodding compared to other guys out there. So when he goes behind line with Ted Ginn goes in front of him and then goes Kelvin, it looks different. So to me, he's always just kind of looked this way. That's not his game. His game's not a vertical down the field kind of guy. I think Dave joked last week when he was talking to us, his speed's vertical, meaning actually up in the air. He's all about dominating guys. Now, so I don't think Kelvin showing up out of weight or out of shape or overweight was that big a deal as far as week one is concerned or the season's concerned. The deal is that this was now at least the second time it happened, and he had the history back in college. So it was just one of those discipline things where coaches are like, Kelvin, they need the light to go on and stay on. Because you see him, you see things like the performances in weeks one and two last year or the performance in the season finale. So you have those three games, and what did you have in between? You had just kind of a guy.
Yeah, too many ups and downs, yeah.
And so that's why I think they're upset about the weight thing. It wasn't necessarily that he was that much slower on the field.
Right.
He wasn't. It was just the matter of principle.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course it went viral, just the image of him walking to practice, and he took, you know, a lot of shots, and you know he heard it and saw it and all that. He kept his mouth closed throughout OTAs and minicamp and just kind of went to work. And I think that was the right approach for him. And I will say, by the end of it, he was making a lot of plays in those practices.
Yeah.
And I think he lost the weight. That's one thing about it. He did lose the weight. Now he's got to keep it off.
Could you tell at the end?
I don't think
that
so.
He did. Yeah, I can't either.
I don't think so.
Maybe it's because you're around him all the time too. I don't.
Yeah, but you can. I mean, at a guy with that kind of frame, it's hard to tell when he puts on 10 or 15 pounds. It's just such long limbs. I mean, you're not going to notice it. But it became such a big story. And I will say, by the end of these practices, he was making the kind of plays that you saw during that 2015 training camp, which we all know. We talked about how magical that season was. Kelvin wasn't a part of it, and now he's trying very much to be a part of another magical season. And he knows where he's going to have to be. And we'll see. These next 5 weeks are big for him to make sure that he stays in shape and to get himself down there on July 25th for training camp at Spartanburg, the shape he needs to be in. And he knows it. Now it's up to him. And, of course, and again, talking to Joe, he says it's the onus is on the player at this point. You know, the coaching staff, the training staff, the strength staff, they're not around anymore. Now the onus is on the player. So we'll see. But I did think Kelvin finished strong, and that was certainly good to see from a Panthers perspective. One of the other main topics, of course, was waiting for Christian McCaffrey to finally show up. We got one practice where we got to see what he could do out there with the veterans. So much talk about the rule, if it does, you know, if there's a place for it, if it's antiquated, if they should just get rid of it. We've been talking to a number of people about that, Bill. I mean, I guess, how do you kind of assess the McCaffrey spring that we only really lasted a day, but of course, talk of him lasted really throughout
I shrug my shoulders. This spring workout stuff has gotten so blown out of proportion as far as its importance. As long as the kid's there at the start of training camp, and to me, it's like, what do you think's the bigger deal? Cam not throwing, like he was scheduled not to throw, but still, Cam not throwing, or McCaffrey not being here for those few practices? To me, it's a toss-up. Whatever. Yeah, you'd rather have him be there, but I don't think it's gonna affect you once the season comes. At least it better not.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's that big deal, a big a deal at all. I think it's a bummer because the rule is so antiquated. So, yeah, you prefer to not have it, but I don't think it's anything all that fatal. And I think it helps fill up columns and fill up airwaves during one of the deader times of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And I think, you know, look, he got out there for his one practice. Would it have been great to have him here for a more time? Of course. It would have been great for him personally. Really, I think the bigger deal, and Greg Olsen spoke to this, is just to meet the guys and just to get to know his teammates and get the lay of the land for Charlotte and kind of where he has to live. It's more of that than really is this going to, you know, really hurt him from a football sense. It's not. He'll be fine. He'll be fine when it gets time for training camp. It was cool to see him out there for one day, though. And obviously that got everybody a little excited about what we're going to see coming down here in the future. And obviously training camp will get a full dose of what this offense is going to look like with McCaffrey a part of it. Other major issue that was talked about throughout the spring, Michael Orr. And this is something that has been a question mark and is still a question mark. Football is not the priority. Dave Gettleman has made that clear as it relates to Michael Orr. It's just not. It's his health that's the priority right now. So as a result for the Panthers, it's what's going to happen with this tackle position. And Mac Lille obviously brought in for the left side. But over at the right side, Bill, Darrell Williams, Taylor Moten, hard to judge offensive linemen, of course, in the spring when there's no pads on. But how do you feel just about where this offensive tackle situation is right now?
You and I think have a little bit of a disagreement with this as far as how much of a competition it is on the right side. I don't think it's all that close. I think it's easily Darrell Williams' job right now. I don't think it's, okay, who's going to win this going into training camp? I could be wrong, but I just think, you know, Darrell does have that experience. He's still not where they want him as a pass blocker, but he's got that experience. And Taylor Moten was just blocking for Western Michigan a few months ago, and I don't think ideally that's what they would want to do. I think they want to have Darrell out there in week one and hope he sticks there. But as Dave told us the other day, this isn't a redshirt season for Taylor. They fully expect him to play.
Right. And that might be at a necessity too. I mean, you know, especially for those guys up front, you step the wrong way, some guy rolls into you, and all of a sudden, okay, the number two in line is stepping in. And if that were to be an injury on the left side, on the right side, you're right. Maybe Taylor Moten isn't going to be a day one starter, but he's going to have to be ready to play.
Oh, yeah.
It certainly looks like it from this.
I think this is the biggest, to me, it's the biggest concern going into the year is tackle. And yeah, it looks great if you're going to look at it and say very positively that Matt Khalil's going to come back from this hip surgery and the change of scenery, and he's going to be healthy at left tackle and at right tackle. Darrell Williams going into his third year is really going to continue to improve, and then you got Taylor back there. But okay, what happens if something happens to Matt Khalil? Well, then Darrell Williams is probably going to have to move over to left tackle, a position that he isn't really familiar with. And then you've got the kid playing right tackle. So that tackle position is the house of cards that is just so perilous. But it's not like the Panthers are the only team in this position.
Yeah.
It's so hard to find two starting caliber tackles in this league. So then when you start looking at backups, you kind of got to get lucky with a guy like Mike Remmers, who I know he became persona non grata around here in his final year after that Super Bowl. But they got him off the street. But how many teams that he had like five or six stops before that? And the Panthers had plenty of opportunities to pick him up and didn't. So you kind of have to get lucky as far as the depth if something happens to your guys.
Well, I mean, we talked about this with Dave Gettleman telling us there are not enough players to support the league. That's especially true at offensive line. There's just not enough starting caliber offensive linemen available to support really a high caliber offensive line for every team. And then, of course, if you go down to the two level, you know, who are your backups? It's thin. It's very thin. And so, yeah, successful teams usually are healthy teams. And especially at the offensive line position, you hope you can stay healthy. I mean, you saw the Falcons last year. I mean, there were a lot of reasons why they had success. One of them was that offensive line was good and healthy.
Could you play tackle?
I don't think
so. You know, we get that question all the time.
I can play a little slot receiver, but I don't think
you can. There was a time during, and so folks know, there was a time, I think it was during, it was OTAs, not minicamp, right, where Ron Rivera called you out onto the field during one of the drills, and I thought that maybe, just maybe, he was going to put you in. Like, you ran.
I know you
started jogging, and I was just so, it would have been so great if he's like, Henson, get in. Khalil, you're out.
Every time he needs to make a point and show somebody how it's done, he usually calls me in just to run the route. Or, you know, that way I can just set the foundation, let everybody know.
A good hand placement.
It's not the first time that's happened, Bill.
How are your hips?
I've got very slippery hips. Yeah, yeah. Very fast in and out of my brakes. Anyway, wanted to ask you, before we wrap up kind of the spring assessments, any standouts for you? And we just talked about the fact that, you know, offensive line, defensive line, there's no pads on. It's really hard for us to give much of an assessment on those guys. This is really about the skill position players and the guys catching passes and trying to knock passes away. But anybody off the top of your head that comes to mind and says, yeah, this guy had a really good spring.
Let me go through the positions real quick. A quarterback, Garrett Gilbert, and this is actually a compliment. He was not as bad as most of the guys they usually bring in, right?
I agree with you.
Usually those guys they bring in, it affects everything. Because
a lot of balls hitting the ground.
Yeah. So he was good. Let's see. Obviously, Shepard and Duke. So Russell Shepard and Austin Duke. I think Austin Duke, he's too much of a long shot to make the 53, but I think certainly a place on the practice squad if he continues to play as well as he did in the spring. And Russell Shepard, I think, he was probably, if you ask anybody, that's the name that would roll off the tongue. I do think that the excitement kind of needs to be tempered a little bit, because when you look at who needs to get touches in the offense once the season comes, whether it's Cam, Stewart, Funches, Benjamin, Olsen, how many touches is Shepard?
Sure.
Oh, and by the way, I forgot the two rookies, Samuel and McCaffrey. Yeah. So we're just Russell. Yeah. So yeah, he was good, and so I think that's nice that they found a piece in that. But he's obviously going to be more important for special teams. So that's me on offense. Do you have anybody on defense?
Well, first I want to touch on what you mentioned on offense, because, of course, Shepard and Duke, everybody saw. Austin Duke running away from people time and time again, did a lot to help his cause. You're right. Roster spot, long shot, but certainly proved that he's worth sticking around at the practice squad at the very least. And Russell Shepard, as you're mentioning, I think the big thing for Shepard, too, beyond how many catches he's going to have a week, is more – this guy is going to be a very important presence in that wide receiver room. I think a lot of people went into the season questioning who's the leader in that group. Mm-hmm. They need one, especially Ted Ginn's gone, the veteran. Russell Shepard's going to be that guy. I think he is. And the chemistry he's already kind of built with Cam Newton was impressive, despite the fact they haven't even been able to throw to or catch from one another. You know, Russell Shepard hasn't caught a pass from Cam Newton yet, but you can tell there's a chemistry there. And again, going back to the Joe Kenwell here, he was telling me that
you can't go back to the Joe Kenwell too much.
He's telling me again that Shepard's the guy who stepped up as the vocal leader of that group already from day one, and somebody had to do it, and it was him. So everybody is kind of in this building has realized pretty quickly, I think, that Russell Shepard. Now, the other thing about that is you have to produce to lead. That's the other part of the equation. So there is going to have to be some production there, and you make a good point. Where is that going to come from for a guy when you talk about all these other targets offensively? But I do think, I'm confident in saying that he's going to play a big part in the success of this offense. The personality, the leadership, and, oh, by the way, he's I think, reaching a point in his career where he's ready to be a contributor.
Yeah, definitely a possession, third down type guy. Yeah, he could. I think he can help in that area.
And he's a fun guy to talk to.
Yeah, I mean, it's great.
He said he brings the funk. I mean, that was obviously my favorite quote of the OTAs entirely. So from my perspective, he totally won OTAs. Defense side of the ball you asked about, though. I think Shaq Thompson comes to mind for me. And it's interesting with Shaq, too, because I feel like – and one guy we didn't mention was Devin Funchess on the offense side of the ball. I thought he also had a good spring. But we've seen this before from Shaq, where in the springtime and even training camp, like really, really solid practices and really good practice form. I think he was one of like the stars of training camp last year. And now it just begs the question, are we going to see him emerge as a star when we get to the regular season, when they're playing on Sundays? Because again, I thought he had an outstanding spring. And maybe it's not entirely his fault. Mm-hmm. It's opportunities have been a big thing kind of holding Shaq back.
Yep.
So you wonder, has he banged down that door to the point where now we are going to see Shaq be a prominent figure for this defense?
You have to be. You got to get Shaq on the field more, which, of course, brings up then the Thomas Davis question. Does that mean taking Thomas off the field more then? And that's a nice thing to say in April, May, June, or whatever. But if Thomas is playing at the level he's been playing at, do you take him off the field just to get Shaq on the field? And when I say just to get Shaq on the field, it's not, I mean, that is highly important now, too.
Yeah.
You got to get him more reps because, yeah, I don't think what you know, his perhaps, I don't know, lack of plays the first couple of years was really on him.
Yeah.
He's not on the field.
Yeah, matter of the circumstance. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, his ability to take, you know, tight ends down the seam and make plays on the ball, I mean, we saw it time and time again this spring, and it makes you say, wow, this guy has a lot to offer. You know what kind of athlete he is. And again, he's continuing to put it all together to a point where it's hard to keep him on the sideline.
You can't put him on a guy like Brandon Cooks. We saw that
sure.
last year. So you put captain on Cooks. So then that leaves you with only the two linebackers left to play. So who are you going to choose between mm-hmm. Thomas, Luke, and Shaq? So that's why the whole Thomas Davis Shaq thing becomes an issue.
Yeah, no, I mean there's no doubt. Other guys in the defense I thought had great springs, Bradbury and Worley.
Yep.
Those guys continue to kind of grow. James, in particular, suffered the scare with his wrist, and that became, you know, I think everybody kind of held their breath for a little bit there because it's a big part. We talked about the depth on the offensive line. The depth at those outside corner spots, too, is very important to this team right now. You're counting on Bradbury and Worley to be out there, and if they're not, I mean, who's stepping in is to me a big question for this team. But fortunately, that was just a scare for James, and he carried out spring with that cast on his wrist.
What he does on Twitter probably doesn't matter as much as what he does on the field, probably. But and only a dork like me would notice something like this. But I think he maybe starting to come out of his shell a little bit.
I think so.
Because he's funny, and he's more talkative than he was last year. I remember seeing him at training camp just kind of playing that video game thing in the lounge by himself.
Yep.
And he really kept to himself a lot last year, obviously, besides him talking to Worley and Zach Sanchez. But it does seem like he's trying to talk a little bit more, have a little bit more fun around the guys, and I think just seeing him acting the way he's been acting the past couple of weeks on Twitter seems different for him, and like he's putting himself out there a little
bit. Yeah, I mean,
more.
You check out Instagram too. I mean, hell, Amy Keen, or the Instagram master over here, will be the first to tell you he's pretty funny, and I think that his teammates notice it too. I mean, the captions and what they're writing back and forth to each other. I mean, yeah, I think it's a sign of his comfort level too.
Is your mic work over there, Amy? No, it doesn't work. Oh man,
but she's smiling and laughing as we give her a shout. But yeah, I think you're right. Look, James is coming out of his shell, and I think it's a good sign for Panther fans that he's getting more comfortable here. And as Pro Football Focus would tell you, in the best rookie corner that was out there last year, and their analytics say he was a tough matchup for any wide receiver lined up across from him. I think he's got a bright future ahead. This was a solid spring for him, even though he had to be casted up for the past few practices. Well, that I think will do it for our spring wrap-up. What do we say? Stick around one more episode here, Bill. We look ahead to the big questions heading to training camp.
Sure, let's do it. Let's wrap up the spring wrap-up is what you're saying?
Let's wrap up the spring wrap-up. That sounds pretty good, right?
Yeah.
All right.